Let's pray. Our loving God, our great Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we want to thank you. We want to thank you so much for us being able to be here. I'm praying right now that I be in the background, that you speak forward. But most of all, we need your Holy Spirit, because it's your Spirit that's going to touch hearts, that's going to touch our lives. We pray that you please fill this place with your angels, that all of our minds be brought to the solemn things that are happening around us, but also brought to heaven. We would see Jesus, and we would see, Lord, what you want us to see. So be with us now, bless us, and help us, Lord, in every way, because we are helpless. In Jesus' name we pray. Yeah, it's a different name, but the end at the start. The scripture reading, Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. In the councils of heaven, way before sin even happened, a plan was made. Now, this is spirit of prophecy. The plan of salvation had been laid before the creation of the earth. For Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before the world was even created, Christ said, if it goes wrong, I will stand in. I will be the sacrifice. Then the world was created. And on the sixth day, man was created, Adam and Eve, in a perfect world. An absolutely perfect world. Eve separated from her husband, went to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she was deceived. She took. She ate from it. But if you notice, she didn't change. Eve looked the same as she did before she ate. But now this is the thing. The test wouldn't have been the same for Adam if she didn't. Now, again, everybody's heard me say this more than once, and I'm going to say it again. So many people want to blame Eve for the fall. If you notice, Jesus is called the second Adam. The fault is on Adam because Adam chose sin. There's the difference. He chose to do it. Eve was deceived. And he was to keep his eye on his wife. So she gave to him, and as soon as he ate, everything changed. Something as easy as that is eating a piece of fruit. So, right after that ended up happening, I got to be careful because I tell everybody be careful with the microphone. It just happens. Right after that, Jesus stepped in. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Again, the end from the beginning. That would be pointing to the death of Christ, but at the very, very end, Satan is taken out, completely gone. That is a promise. That's a promise to every one of us. So the first animal sacrifice, Adam and Eve saw that lamb that died, that innocent lamb, which represented Jesus. You know, when we do Bible studies, as Seventh-day Adventists, what do? We go from Genesis to Revelation. Don't pick and choose. And I'm going to be honest with you, some of the stuff is kind of hard. We sit there and we look at it, and it's like, wow. This is deep. This is hard because, let's be honest, why did Satan get kicked out of heaven? I mean, he was one of the most exalted angels, right? Sin. He turned, and it was what? He was lifted up because of his beauty. He wanted to have the position of God. So, in that case where he wanted the position of God, he ended up rebelling, and he got cast out. Now, the question is, do we think we're getting in sinning? Jesus comes back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I believe we're the last day generation. I really do. Without a shadow of a doubt. And we're going to look at a couple of things today on that. So once we accept Christ in our life, what are we doing? We're following the Lamb. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. But we see parallels. You see, from the very beginning of Christ's birth, his ministry, and then his death on the cross, he was born to die. John 18:37, Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "To this end was I born." He was bound, and it looked like he was on his way to the cross. It wasn't definite yet, but he was on his way to the cross. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. So he was born to die. Now look at us. We're born. We accept Jesus in our life. We minister to others. That's our job. That's what we do. We are to be there for everybody. Doesn't matter if you're Seventh-day Adventist, not Seventh-day Adventist. I don't care who you are. Cain said, "I am not my brother's keeper." But we are. We are supposed to be there for everybody. And then our body wears out, and we die. This is Christ's Object Lessons, Spirit of Prophecy. The human family have scarcely begun to live when they begin to die. And the world's incessant labor ends in nothingness unless a true knowledge in regard to eternal life is gained. The man who appreciates time as his working day will fit himself for a mansion and for a life that is immortal. It is well that he was born. So if we accept Christ in our life, it is well that we are born. If not, we live unto ourselves. That's just a reality. And it's easy to think that, well, no matter what, I'm going to heaven, I'm a good person. It all stands on our relationship to God. So Jesus got baptized, we get baptized. And baptism is what? That's an end to that life of sin. I want to live a different life. So as we go through our life, same as Jesus. He was witnessing to others, talking to others, got a hard time by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. No different. We can be talking to somebody and people get angry. I've even seen it in the church. Spoken in different places, and I bring different things up. I don't want to hear that. Okay, people get up, they storm out. I've got to be objective. And everything I listen to or whatever, We have got to be, what did Jesus do? He listened, and then he made his judgment call, didn't he? On absolutely everything. When surrounded by the Pharisees and Sadducees, in Matthew 16, 1-3, the Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempting, desired him that he should show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. The signs of the times. What's going on around us? We read our Bibles, and as we read our Bibles, we look and we see, okay, well, I see this is going to happen, that's going to happen. I mean, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we're a prophetic church. We came out of prophecy, 2300-day prophecy, the Millerite movement. And we constantly look at prophecy of what's going to happen. Now, I used to say 95% of all Bible prophecy is fulfilled. I tell you, we're up to about 97. That's why I truly believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that we are the last generation. So as we sit there and we contemplate, we read our Bibles, we contemplate, what we have to do is we got to keep our eye on the storm that is coming. And it's going to be relentless in its fury. 2300-day prophecy. You see what it says at the bottom? It says, know the future. Now, let's be honest. Whether if you're in the church or not, people go to seances, they go to fortune tellers. We want to know what's going to happen. The only reliable source is what? Bible. God. History. It's his story. He wrote it before. And that's what prophecy is all about. 1 Corinthians 14:22. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but for with them which believe. Now why? Prophecy is not given to entertain the world, but to steady the faith of the believers. So declaring the end from the beginning. Now, this is what gave me stability in my life. I mean, I was a 265-pound drug addict. I've said that many times up here. But the thing is when I started reading the Bible, and you know that age-old question, why are we here? You know, we all want to know that. Life can be odd, very odd. So as I'm reading and as I'm going over it, I was getting into prophecy and I was just amazed on how you see Daniel chapter 2, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, how everything was mapped out before it even happened. This is what gave me stability. So prophecy, it's kind of like a parade. God looking down, he can see the very end from the beginning. Okay? God's looking down on that, but this is what he does. Is he has written it down in his word and get it a little bit closer to us. But as we study, gets a little bit more detail. Gets more and more detail, we understand a little bit more. Now in Great Controversy, it says, page 25, it says that the Lord only gave his people as much as what they could handle at the time. He doesn't give us everything all at once so that we choke. You know? So what we have to do, I'm going to make sure this thing. What we have to do, take it slow. I was one of the ones that said, Lord, give me everything at once. I want to know. Look at this, desire of ages. Truth was unpopular in Christ's day. It is unpopular today, in our day. It has been unpopular ever since Satan first gave man a disrelish for it by presenting fables that led to self-exaltation. Do we not today meet theories and doctrines that have no foundation in the Word of God? Men cling as tenaciously to them as did the Jews for their traditions. But we can do that. I'm going to get into a couple of things. Everything in prophecy, when it's coming to a, and we all know that's coming, Sunday law. Where does that come from? That comes from government. That comes from politics. And people will sit there and say, Jim, don't get political. This is what it is. This is how you get political, when you pick a side. I don't pick a side. I don't vote for people. I vote the side issues. When they were saying marijuana in there, I voted against it. Guys at work all smoke marijuana, they got very angry at me. I said, I am not voting for it. I vote against it. So the thing is when it comes to politics, what we have to do, I vote Jesus. So I will stand on the side and I can have a clear shot of watching everything. Let's be honest, most people, they're more afraid of their portfolio than anything, right? Well, this will help me better if I vote for this or vote for that. Put this person into that person. Or I'm going to do the lesser of two evils. I thought we're in the church, not supposed to be any evil. Now, like I say, being political is picking a side. If you notice, when you go down through all the prophecies, okay, what was happening to Daniel? He got thrown into the lion's den. Why? It's political. All right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they didn't follow what the king was saying. The king was political. But he had his God. You can't bend down to that. So when you're looking at prophecy, politics is a big thing. But again, stand on the side and look in. And like I say, people look at their portfolio, whatever. Guess what? I got no portfolio, so it really doesn't matter to me. You can ask my wife. Revelation 13, 1 and 2. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, seat, and great authority. All right. In the church, we know this as what? This is the Catholic Church. Now, it's not the people. It's the institution. It's the power. Okay? Came up in Rome. Came up as a conglomerate or a all the different religions coming up. Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7. And then when you saw it in Daniel chapter 7, it came up as a little horn. So when it came up as the little horn, it uprooted three before it. So there was 10 different kingdoms that Rome broke into. The last three were Aryan nations. The last one to go down was by Belisarius. Belisarius ended up taking the Ostrogoths down, and that's what ended up giving all of Europe to the Catholic Church. Then the Bibles were taken away, and when that ended up happening, that's when the Dark Ages happened. Because God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And secular as well as religious call it the Dark Ages. You know, even during that time, the 1260 years, which it hits exactly, it goes from 538 AD to 1798, and it's perfect, perfect. A Bible prophecy is 2 + 2 = 4. A friend of mine, Rob, and him and I, we had been studying together for about, 2 years. He came over our house, Sherry and I, we were married, and his fiance was there. And he said, Jimmy, I'll do Daniel 2. I said, all right, I'll do Daniel 7, Daniel 8. So we started showing her. Now, they were Pentecostal, but Rob believed what I believed, being Seventh-day Adventist. Now, this is the thing. We got deep into it. By the time we got done, she was shaking. She goes, I just thought that these were nice stories. No, it's real life. This is real life. God cares that much about you to show you this is what's going to happen. Prepare. How do we prepare? Get to know your God. There's nothing I can do. I can't put food away. And you're seeing that. Are we seeing that all over the place now? Let's be honest. We are seeing it all over the place. You can buy 4 Patriots. This food will last for 25 years. I don't know what's in it, but anyway, it'll last for 25 years. You can put this away. Guess what? God can feed you manna. Amen. He did it for Israel. You're no different. If you are in the Lord, you are no different. It's a promise. Amen. Something you can hang on to. Revelation 13:3. And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. Then all the world, wondered after the beast. So, just go back to that. So you see, one of the heads as it was wounded to death, the wound is healed, and then the whole world wonders after the beast. We are in the deadly wound period, but I'm telling you right now, it's healing fast. It's healing very fast. In 9 volumes of the testimony, page 11, paragraph 2, it says that the final movements are going to be rapid ones. Now, let's be honest. Haven't we seen things in the world flip this way, then flip that way, then flip this way? There is so much uncertainty right now in our world, we don't know what's going on. We got Doug Batchelor. He's been talking Daniel 11. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been teaching the same thing since 2021 is when God gave it to me. Never wanted to get into it. Never, never, never. Didn't understand it, and I didn't want to get into it. But I kind of got thrust into it. Wrote it out in 2022. A bunch of us got together in here, and we wrote it out. The first one. Second one, God gave me a whole bunch of different things. And as I've been watching, and there's some of us here, we talk constantly. It's coming to pass. I just saw Shefflin put this out there, but I had already seen it. 3ABN, James Rafferty, was one of the main ones, Pastor Loma Kang. And as they were going down, Sherry said, Jimmy, they're talking about everything you've been teaching. Pardon me for getting a little bit emotional. I said, yeah. I stood there in awe. And I was just in awe hearing that they were doing it. Last year, or the year before, Sherry and I, we went to the Northern New England camp meeting. And for the first time, somebody higher up in the church listened to me. In an hour and a half, I just unloaded. God blessed mightily. And what ended up happening was, he said to me, you know, he could speak Greek, Hebrew, and Spanish, no English. I was like, but anyway, I went home, we came back the next Sabbath, and he walked up to me, and he said, I studied everything you said. I said, you remembered all that? He goes, I got a photographic memory. I was like, wow. And he said, you're right. He goes, I've never seen this. And in the Florida conference, he's a Spanish man that's up there. He really is. He's a wonderful man, wonderful man. But it's Daniel 11, 40 to 45. You know something? That is the last main prophecy that shows us where we are. And I'm going to be honest with you. I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, Daniel 11, 40 to 45, okay, is the thing that wakes the church up. But what we're doing is we're fighting amongst ourselves. This is what's happening. We're fighting amongst ourselves. Now, there's three different beliefs, and it's mainly the king of the south. The king of the north is pretty much agreed on, except for Uriah Smith. Uriah Smith believes that the king of the north is, and he did what's called the Eastern Question, he believes is Turkey. I don't see that, but I'm going to be honest with you. Don't count Uriah Smith out. I can't get into all that because there's no time. Okay? You don't count Uriah Smith out, because what God did with Uriah Smith and gave him all of the history in the beginning. Now, in all three views, okay, there's Uriah Smith's view, and that's in Daniel Revelation by Uriah Smith. The second one is atheism, which that's the second view that's held by a lot of people. The king of the south is atheism. And then the third one is, it's the Muslim view, which is radical Islam. Radical Islam. Okay? So the thing is, we're fighting amongst ourselves, and this is what I see. And this is what the Lord has shown me. It's not me, it's God. What we're doing is, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. So what view do you hold? What view do you hold? When verse 40 comes, I see all three merge together. That's what I see. That's what God has shown me. You cannot take radical Islam out of that, because just look around what's happening with radical Islam. You cannot take the atheism view out. And we'll get into that in a second. I got to watch the time. Just so you know, what I'm going to go over, I'm just going to go over fast, because I can't get deep into this stuff right now. There's just not time, okay? But this is what I want to do, is I just want to show you where we are. Daniel 11:40, and at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, okay? Daniel 11:40, there's a part A and a part B, because the king of the north pushes back against the king of the south. All right, the king of the south, in the atheism view, we look at the king of the south as what? Okay, I see it as atheism. Now, when I'm sitting there saying that there's three views, the Muslim view, he can go from verse 1 all the way up, mathematically accurate. Uriah Smith can go verse 1 to 39, mathematically accurate. And it can also be done with the atheism view. So, at the time of the end, shall the king of the south push at him? Now look at this, Exodus 5:2. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. If you go to Great Controversy 269, this is talking about what? This is talking about Revelation chapter 11. And in Great Controversy, it nails it down. It says, this is atheism. And the nation represented by Egypt would give voice to a similar denial of the claims of the living God and would manifest a like spirit of unbelief and defiance. This prophecy has received the most exact and striking fulfillment in the history of France. That was the French Revolution. What came out of that And you can see that in the sixth seal. I can go over that with somebody if they want. It's amazing how even France is at the end of the sixth seal. It's amazing. Okay? It's right in the middle of the sixth seal. Now, the thing is, Egypt is used in Daniel chapter 11. Okay? And it's put in Egypt as France. And what happened was, General Berthier went in and took the Pope captive. He had to, because Napoleon was trying to be the world ruler. And if you notice, God said there would not be one world ruler anymore. It's done. Napoleon ended up getting his Waterloo. He ended up getting stopped, and he went into exile for the rest of his life. So the Pope was taken captive. That's when that beast that we saw received a deadly wound. That deadly wound ended up stopping the political side. Because in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, it says that it'd be different from the other kingdoms because it was a religious political power. So it being a religious political power, Napoleon had to take the Pope captive. He had to drop that power for him to be world ruler. Now, this is what ended up happening. The religious side kept on going. Never stopped. The Catholic Church never stopped. But it was a religious political power. The other side of Daniel chapter 11, verse 40, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. Look at this. 2 Kings 2:12. We're going to explain a little bit. We're going to look at what these symbols are. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. The chariots, because it was saying with chariots, with this, that, and this. Okay. So when the deadly wound was received, that was 1798, February 10th, 1798. That's when that ended up happening. So we're looking at now the king of the north pushing back against the king of the south. Egypt, or it was France, represented atheism. So going back, the horsemen, the chariots, Psalm 68, 17, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. Proverbs 31, 14, she is like the merchant ships. She bringeth forth her food from afar. So the ships are what? Economy. The chariots. That has something to do with God, doesn't it? Time magazine, Holy Alliance. They ended up breaking the story. Now, this is what's amazing. The historian will end up speaking the words of prophecy. It is absolutely amazing. What happened was Ronald Reagan and John Paul II ended up getting together. And the whole idea is they needed to drop the Soviet Union. Now, they were a block in the way for the Catholic Church for them to get their power. And also, it was a block, and we had the Cold War for many, many years and everything. And that big thing that Reagan said was what? Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. That's a big thing in history. But look at this. There's a couple of things right here that he ended up saying. Now, this is straight from what they were saying. Listen to this. In that meeting, Reagan and the Pope agreed to undertake a clandestine campaign to hasten the dissolution of the communist empire, atheism. As the effectiveness of the resistance grew, the stream of information to the West about the internal decisions of the Polish government and the contents of Warsaw's communications with Moscow became a flood. Overflow and pass over like a flood. Wow, isn't that something? Same wording. The details came not only from priests, but also from spies within the Polish government. Do you know what? The chariots of God, thousands and thousands of angels, religious people were doing it. Amazing. Okay, let's keep going. A five-part strategy emerged that was aimed at bringing about the collapse of the Soviet economy. Merchant ships, They did it by dropping the economy. Fraying the ties that bound the USSR, the Vatican's information was absolutely better and quicker than ours in every respect, says Haig. They had better reconnaissance, they had better spying and everything than the United States government. Oh my. That's a big one right there. Anything that we knew that we thought the Pope would not be aware of, we certainly brought to his attention, says Reagan. Immediately, the church excelled in its evaluations of the political situation. It's a political religious power. That's what it was. Sound. Do I got sound? Okay, mine's all the way up. I don't want to blow people to pieces. Now, that ended up happening in 1989, okay? Now we're jumping forward. Now, see, the thing about Daniel is progressive. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome goes through history, okay? That brought us up to 1989, awful close to our time right now, all right? A lot of us remember that when it happened. I remember it. I'm dating myself. That's okay. I want to retire anyway, okay? Then, in 2001,
came in like a missile, like a fireball missile across from the New York harbor side, I guess from the Newark direction. It came in like a spear. It just speared through the building like a fireball.
You know, you can see the cut of the incision into the building is sideways, so the plane was slightly on its side, and that's why it made me think maybe it was in distress. But then when it obviously hit, there was almost no doubt that it was intentional.
2001, radical Islam hit the United States. Now, when you're looking at the United States and the papacy work together, that is when they were courting. That was the courting time. Now radical Islam just hit the United States. All right, and to sit there and say there's nothing with Islam, we got to think about this. A lot of people don't know about this, the first and second woes, okay? Those both pointed to Islam. The second one is when Josiah Litch brought forward in the 1840s that the Ottoman Empire was going to fall. Like I said, do not disregard Uriah Smith, because a lot of people say, no. No. Watch. Verse 41, he, talking about the king of the north, shall enter also into the glorious land, and many shall be overthrown. Now, that word countries, you see it in italics. Countries is a supplied word, so you get that out. Okay, that's not inspired. It said, he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many shall be overthrown. Okay? Revelation 13:11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. The dragon is who? You go to Revelation 12:9-10, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Okay, so it points it out who the dragon is. Okay, so this is another beast that comes up, so it's another political power that comes up, and it fits the prophecy as the United States 100%. So it comes up like a lamb. It comes up peaceful. Not like in Europe when other countries were coming up, they were bloodbaths. Okay, the United States, yes, there was wars with the Indians and everything else. Yes, people died. But the whole thing is, it wasn't like what happened over in Europe. So it came up. This is Maranatha, Spirit of Prophecy. Here is a striking figure of the rise and growth of our own nation. And the lamb-like horns, emblems of innocence and gentleness, well represents the character of our government, as expressed in its two fundamental principles, republicanism and Protestantism. The Lord has done more for the United States than for any other country upon which the sun shines. Here, he provided an asylum for his people where they could worship him according to the dictates of conscience. Here, Christianity has progressed in its purity. The life-giving doctrine of the one mediator between God and man has been freely taught. God designed that this country should ever remain free for all people to worship him in accordance with the dictates of conscience. He designed that its civil institutions in their expansive productions should represent the freedom of gospel privileges. I see the glorious land as the United States now. Why? It's where God's church came from. God has, what Spirit of Prophecy says it straight, God has blessed this country more than any other country under the sun. Israel has called a dead, fruitless branch. At the end of the 490-year prophecy, it's not blessed anymore. But you see, there's so many looking at Israel. Israel's going to start a third temple. Israel's going to do this.
Mr. Speaker, the Pope of the Holy See.
This was 2015. Entering into the glorious land. Doesn't say by overtaking, doesn't say by war.
The Pope of the Holy See?
Listen.
What a moment. Of course, the Pope is coming to the Congress today as a head of state.
As a head of state? Political.
Greek Secretary of State John Kerry. And he'll work his way to the podium. Made it down a lot more quickly than the presidents normally do. The speaker was obeyed inside the house today.
Did you see what it said? It said, and many shall be overthrown. That word many means tens of thousands. Thousands upon thousands. And in one of his sermons when he came, there was 90,000 people. 90,000 people in one of his sermons. Tens of thousands. This is when you see the marriage. He stood where our president stands and he spoke. Both sides of the aisles accepted him. Our military top brass was there. Our Supreme Court was there. A nation's sin brings a nation's ruin. Amen. All right. What comes from a marriage? The Protestant churches have accepted the spurious Sabbath. The child, what comes from a marriage? Child. What was it? The spurious Sabbath, the child of the papacy. This great controversy. We have exalted it up and have exalted it above God's holy sanctified day. It's the fourth commandment. Can't change the commandments. It is our work to make plain to our children that the first day of the week is not the true Sabbath, and that its observance after light has come to us as to what is the true Sabbath is a plain contradiction of the law of God. He came politically. Politically. All right, let's keep going. Verse 41. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. Okay, now this is a big one. A lot of people sit there and say, these are God's people in the other churches that are going to come out and come to the church. I totally disagree. Because Edom, Moab, and Ammon, all three of them were anti-Yahweh, anti-God. Well, they're from other churches coming. No, no, no. Nope. Okay? People in other churches that are not Seventh-day Adventists, they love their God just as much as we do. Guess what? They haven't had the light yet. How can you call them sodomites? Never. Never. We can't do that. Nobody can do that. And when I hear, and I was at the Daniel 11 conference in 2023, and Tim Rosenberg, Pastor Rosenberg, which was the one that was the head of the main one for the radical Islam, I cornered him in a hallway. And I said to him, I said, who is Edom, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon? He goes, well, that's God's people in other churches. And I said, how? Where do you get that? And one of his things is, well, they escape out of his hand. That word escape is the same word as delivered in Daniel chapter 12, 1. I said, what else you got? He goes, well, that's, I can't accept that. I said, that's God's people are sodomites? He would not come near me for the rest of the days that we were there. Every time I went up to him, he took off. Why? I will stand here and I will tell you what I believe. I have back. Okay? See this man? Jeffrey Sachs. Okay? Now, when the prophecy happened, once that marriage happened, it can go the United States, King of the North, or it can go the papacy. It can flop back and forth. My wife can represent me and I can represent my wife wherever I go. Okay? This guy, Jeffrey Sachs, he is an economist. All right? Now watch this.
I will come for the economy of Francesco because we need a new economy, a new vision, and the teachings of Pope Francis in Laudato Si and in other teachings help to give us the pathway to a better world.
Okay. All right. Laudato Si. What was Laudato Si all about? Climate change, wasn't it? That was a big thing. Climate change. What was pushing climate change?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to welcome His Eminence Cardinal Turkson, Prefect of the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development of the Vatican City-State, with a special message from His Holiness Pope Francis. Your Eminence, it is a pleasure to welcome you back to Davos. The stage is yours.
The World Economic Forum, the Catholic Church was there. They were pushing climate change. Massively, they were pushing climate change. Do we all remember? Now everybody should remember this. Do we remember the pandemic? 2020. All right. The pandemic happened. Davos was trying to change this, right? Because what were they doing?
A microscopic virus has closed down entire countries and economies. The Great Reset is a welcome recognition that this human tragedy must be a wake-up call. As you rightly say, it is imperative that we reimagine, rebuild, redesign, reinvigorate, and rebalance our world.
Okay, now I'm going to say again, I'm against not one person, nobody. I don't care if you're in the church, out of the church, a different denomination, whatever. I'm not against anybody, okay? But the Great Reset, what were they doing? Do you remember when we couldn't come to church? You had to have a mask on at all times when you were out there? But it just seemed like when the people were out doing their protests, they didn't have to have a mask. Do you remember when we couldn't go to church, and some people that had opened up their churches, and we didn't know, and out of just precautions, because nobody knew, and people were dying. I had a couple friends die, okay? They were sticking the intubators down their throat, which was the worst thing you could do, and it killed them, okay? Now, do you remember all that? Okay. Then why were the bars open? Strip clubs were open, but a church wasn't. That's atheism right there. That's king of the self. That is king of the self. They were trying to take over, and guess what? The king of the north was trying to get them, but they slipped out of his hand. Why? Because they were trying to get their world power through what? Climate change. The answer is in Genesis chapter 19, 38. 1930 to 1938, all right? Who's Moab? Big tech, social media, mainstream media. Remember, you couldn't have freedom of speech. They were censoring you. That doesn't happen in the United States. Okay, big pharma. You got to have the shot. If you don't, you're killing your friends. You're killing your neighbors. What? I'm not killing anybody. Now, these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. Who is Edom? Edom is anyone that is going along with the Great Reset just to get what they can for themselves, free health care, free college. Remember that? And again, I'm not putting anybody down, but it's also the LGBTQ, the progressives, the woke movement, the green movement, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, worldliness. Now that we're a few years away from this, we can see that there is a lot of stuff that's just not kosher with every one of them. Who's the chief of the children of Ammon? All the heads of states and all the democratic countries that were taking part in the Great Reset. If you notice, the countries that were dictators, they weren't taking part in this. They had nothing to do with it. Funny, isn't that? It was a world takeover that the elite were trying to do. That's who Edom, Moab, and chief. Because a lot of people say Edom, Moab, and Ammon. You missed the word chief. Every word means something. And they were atheistic. They wanted nothing to do with God. Now listen to Mr. Sachs here.
And it is a dangerous country.
That's the United States. Now. He's American.
It will be absolutely dangerous if Trump wins re-election. Trump wins re-election. Trump wins re-election.
Just so you know, all these things are written for our admonition to whom the end of the world has come. Okay? Now, if you go to 2 Samuel chapter 15, that's the 2020 election in symbolism. Anybody wants to know? I'll show you later. I can't get into that now. Don't got time. All right? And who is he sitting beside? I could have put the other thing up. That was one of the ones, that man that was beside him was one of the ones that was Pope Francis's biggest person for doing underhanded things. I got the whole article, I got everything. Now this is what it is. Pendulum, we talk about a pendulum, okay? Swings to the left. Then it swings to the right. And what do we call? We call in the politics, there's the left and there's the right. The religious right. Then it went even further to the left with the last administration. Now it's out of control right. Everything has gone so far right, it isn't funny.
It is my honor to introduce to you the 45th and the 47th President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump.
In America, the impossible is what we do best. There is nothing we cannot do and no dream we cannot achieve. We will restore America's promise and we will rebuild the nation that we love. We will stand bravely, dream boldly, and nothing will stand in our way because we are Americans. The future is ours and our golden age has just begun.
Did you just hear that? What has just begun? The golden age. All right. Now, in Daniel chapter 2, we see the statue. I should have brought my statue and put it here, but and it went through my mind. That was God impressed me. I didn't listen. But in Daniel chapter 2, the head of gold is called Babylon, okay? In Revelation chapter 17, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. While the United States in Revelation chapter 13, the United States and the papacy end up getting together, and we saw the marriage just a few minutes ago, all right? The United States is what, did Trump just say? Our golden age. Well, isn't that amazing that that's what is being called? The golden age. Watch this. Okay? 11:42, he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. Egypt, okay? We were looking at that as atheism. But Egypt is also taking in what? Radical Islam? Okay? And now, this one too. I didn't put it in here. I got slides to show it was not last year, it was the year before. It was 2023, I think it was. Turkey, who Uriah Smith points at, Turkey ended up making an alliance with Iran. Woo! Turkey is a NATO country. What are you doing with Islam? They made an alliance with Iran. Did we make this? I got it. I got the stuff. But the thing is Turkey made an alliance with Iran. I'm telling you right now, you don't get rid of Uriah Smith. Too many people want to say Uriah Smith's wrong. No. No. Because we don't know what's going to happen with that, because Turkey wants to make a caliphate. They want a caliphate. And where do they want it? In Israel. Now, it says, he shall stretch forth his hand. Who are we talking about? The king of the north is still going. But he's stretching forth his hand also upon the countries. Now, this is a real countries, okay? And the land of Egypt shall not escape. All right? So it's that beast that comes up out of the earth. The papacy never and does not have their own military, so they use other countries to do what they do. All right? So in that case, who are they using? Revelation 13:12, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound is healed. How do you do that? You need to have full power to do that. Okay, there's another prophecy that a lot of people don't even talk about. When God gave me this, I was just mind blown. It's in 1 Kings chapter 19, 11 and 12. Elijah is up on the mountain. He just ran from Jezebel. So he's up in the mountain, and God showed him what? Look at this. And it says, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. Okay, how do you get world dominance? Energy. There's the wind, there's the earthquake, and then there's a fire. All three of those are energy. Energy, if you have the energy, you have world dominance. That's why barrels of oil are in dollars. Every country does it in dollars. They've been trying. China's tried to change it, and Russia's tried to change it, and everything else. It's in dollars. This is why BRICS was started. They're trying to take the United States down by what? Economy. That's what's happening. Now watch this, okay? That was the last administration. Everything was going what? Solar panels, wind, everything else, all right? Trying to change it. God said what? A great wind rent the mountain and broke the rocks. Well, what's renting the mountain and breaking the rocks? This is the Democratic Republic of Congo. Do you know what they're doing? They are mining for cobalt, rare earth minerals. Look at that. Child labor. Let's go, solar. Let's go. Cobalt, lithium, cadmium. So they're right in the side of the mountain, and they all got little hammers breaking the rocks. Really? Really? Ah, Jim, you're just out of your mind. You're just trying to put, nope, nope, nope. Look at close up. Regular hammers, they're breaking rocks. That's how they're living. So we can have our solar-powered stuff. 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. If you notice, God's not part of all these things. Okay? He's not in the earthquake. What's an earthquake? At this time, this is Patriarchs and Prophets. At this time, immense forests were buried. These have since been changed to coal, forming the extensive coal beds that now exist, also yielding large quantities of oil. The coal and oil frequently ignite and burn beneath the surface of the earth. Thus, rocks are heated, limestone is burned, and iron ore melted. The action of the water upon the limestone adds fury to the immense heat and causes earthquakes, volcanoes, and fiery issues. As the fire and water come in contact with the ledges of rock and ore, there are heavy explosions underground which sound like muffled thunder. So the next one is what? Oil, fossil fuels. Fossil fuels. And what did he say?
American natural gas production is at an all-time high because I kept my promise to drill, baby, drill.
If you notice, everything's about oil right now. We're in the next phase. We are in the next phase out of three phases. Watch. Now we see Egypt again, who is the main atheistic country that is trying to take over the world now. And this is verse 42, all right? China. China is doing their best. And are they getting countries under them? Well, there was a pact between China, Russia, and Iran. Everybody's called them the Axis of Evil. You've seen it. It's been all over the place. Well, where are they? They're not helping Iran now. Oh, yeah, they are. That's already come out. Russia has given them coordinates to be able to hit our stuff. So isn't China. China is helping them as well, in the back. Okay? So it's been China, Russia, and Iran. There's BRICS, and you'll see BRICS up there. There's BRICS that happened. They were trying to start an alternate economy. What did Trump say? Anybody that trades in any kind of stuff with BRICS, you won't do any business with the United States. Economy, 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 economy. That's what it's all about. The world leader is the one in the economy. Look at this. China and Russia have Iran's back. Foreign affairs, that was back in 2020. Things aren't going so well, are they? You know why? Because he, the king of the north, has his hand over the countries. Really? What has he done? Maduro. All right? Panama Canal. All right? We want Greenland. Countries. Do you see what's happening? But now watch this. Why is he doing all that? Okay, when it came to Venezuela, I'm moving, I'm almost done, just so everybody knows. When it came to Venezuela, all right? He said it was the narco drugs. No, it wasn't. That was a bold-faced lie. It all has to do with the oil. And this is why I'm saying it. Who are the top three that put drugs into the United States? Mexico, China, and Colombia. It wasn't Venezuela. Who got most of Venezuela's oil? China. Gotta stop China. There is a fight and a race right now for AI, and you need tons of energy for AI. They want to get to general AI and super AI. Why? Of course, it's always military to kill people. All right? But if you notice, now we're hitting Iran. All right? And what's he talking about now? Oh, boy, we can get a whole bunch of oil from that, too. But by stopping Iran, which was part of that access of evil, all right? Who got most of Iran's oil? China. But China wasn't stupid. China has got almost 1 billion barrels, they said, put away. Verse 43, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and Ethiopians shall be at his steps. I'm telling you now, the Libyans, that points to Iran. Ethiopians points to China because it's a three-way thing. And I mean, points to Russia. And Egypt is China. Okay? And if you notice, gold, silver, and precious things. And I want to thank you, Valerie, for the precious things. You were the one that gave me that. Silver, that is the commodity that has always been used for money. Gold, liquid gold is what? Oil. And precious things. What's the precious things? Rare earth minerals. That's why we want Greenland. That's why we want this. That's why he's talking to Zelensky and Ukraine. Well, we can get the rare earth minerals first at a cut rate price. And do you see what I mean? Do you see how this is all unfolding? Look at this.
A short time ago, the United States military began major combat operations in Iran. Our objective is to defend the American people by eliminating imminent threats from the Iranian regime. May God bless the brave men and women of America's armed forces. May God bless the United States of America. May God bless you all. Thank you.
Friends, we would like to welcome you to a special edition of Amazing Facts Friday Night Live. With the current conflict, in the Middle East right now, there's a lot of people that are asking questions, wondering if there's any prophetic significance to this and what might the Christian perspective be.
Do you think there's any prophetic significance? I do. Okay, let's keep going. 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still small voice. What's the fire? What's the fire? Boom. Revelation 13, 13, and he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. We know that apostate Protestantism ends up doing what? By the means of those miracles, fire coming down to deceive. What's the first thing Jesus said when they said, what's the sign of the coming and the end of the world? Matthew chapter 24. First thing he said, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Watch out. Plenty of winds of doctrine. And then when that ends up happening, we get what? A national Sunday law. Ooh, is that starting now? If I'm not mistaken, the North American Division already put something out because the Heritage Foundation is pushing it. I don't know if you noticed or did know this, but you know how Trump is the 45th and 47th president? That happened before, you know, back in 1888. Do you know there was a Sunday law going forward in 1888? Church didn't get themselves together. It's up to us to hasten the coming of the Lord. It's up for us to get ourselves right with the Lord. Well, the church failed. Just say it straight. Church failed. We're still here. Praise the Lord. I get a chance for eternal life. But the thing is, it's sad. Look how many people have died, how many people have been born and died. Look at this. Watch this. Ready? Like I said, I'm just about done.
Yep.
The dignities of the church and state will unite to bribe, persuade, or compel all classes to honor the Sunday. This is great controversy. The lack of divine authority will be supplied by oppressive enactments. Political corruption is destroying love of justice and regard for truth. And even in free America, rulers and legislators, in order to secure public favor, will yield to the popular demand for a law enforcing Sunday observance. Liberty of conscience, which has cost so great a sacrifice, will no longer be respected. In the soon coming conflict, we shall see exemplified the prophet's words, the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12, 17.
This is for a special program like this. We don't do
a different one that
live all the time. But we see things that are happening in the news and in the world right now that we think have prophetic significance. And in particular, the Heritage Foundation, which is a well-meaning group that is based in Washington, D.C. It's a think tank. They're very concerned about the welfare of the family. They produced a document that was recently released called Saving America by Saving the Family, a foundation for the next 250 years. They say that, of course, because we're getting ready to celebrate our 250th anniversary for this country. And we don't have time to read the whole document. It's 168 pages. I've looked over most of it, but something in particular on page 38 and 39 jumps out. Now, a lot of the document talks about marriage must be honored, parental authority must be respected, that the economies of the country should not be especially burdensome for families and marriages, that marriages between one biologically born man and one biologically born woman. There's a lot in the document I'm thinking most Christians would agree with. And then they make some statements about Sunday worship or a day of rest. And they say, since Sunday is the ubiquitously recognized day, that should be the day, and there should be legislation to support that. So I'm going to read it so that there's no doubt.
So that would make the United States, when they enact it, not if, when, speak as a dragon. Okay. Sister White very rarely talked about Daniel 11. If you go to 9 volumes of the testimony, the final crisis, and you go down that, it's almost in chronological order. And 9 volumes of testimony, page 14, paragraph 2, the world is stirred with the spirit of war. The prophecies of the 11th chapter of Daniel has nearly reached its complete fulfillment. Soon the scenes of trouble spoken of in the prophecies will take place. If you follow that down, it's after she saw 9/11. She wrote about it. She put it in two places, rewrote it. Usually God has something redone. She rewrote it. So you get a little extra, okay? The thing is, every time you see the 9/11, just so you know, in the Quran, anybody ever look it up? 9/1/1/1. That's like their John 3:16. It calls for jihad, to kill and be killed. Yep. Okay? Libya is in Daniel chapter 11, verse 43. Anything with Libya, 9/11? Benghazi. We got hit by radical Islam. Our embassy on September 11th. Really? How about Ethiopia? Anything with Ethiopia with September 11th? I was floored when God showed me this. Do you know Ethiopia, the only one that is talked about in the Bible was seeing Solomon, the Queen of Sheba? But the whole thing is that Ethiopia celebrates New Year's on September 11th. Really? 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 Every time you see something happen and that number comes up, September 11th, it's a world-changing event. Do you know the Battle of Plattsburgh? The Battle of Plattsburgh is what converted William Miller to go out and start giving the message of the 2300-day prophecy, which this church came from. Do you know the day the Battle of Plattsburgh ended, which was the biggest thing to him because people were dying all around him and he saw that there was a God that cared about individuals? It was September 11th. And he went out and he gave the message. And then, it's called the Great Disappointment. They had the time right, the event was wrong. But the thing is, okay, now look at Trump. Do you know he fulfilled 70 years just like Cyrus? May 14th, okay, Truman recognized Israel as a state again. May 14th, 1948, May 14th, to the day, okay, 2018, 70 exact years later, Trump ended up putting our embassy over in Jerusalem, and they said what? They said, it's what? He's built us a house. He's just like Cyrus. Amazing. But he's the 45th and 47th president, all right? 4 + 5 = 9, 4 + 7 = 11. It's too much. It's too much. Look, Jesus had his Gethsemane. Satan is a diligent Bible student. He knows that his time is short, and he seeks at every opportunity to counterwork the work of the Lord upon this earth. It is impossible to give any idea of the experience of the people of God who shall be alive on the earth when celestial glory and the repetition of the persecutions of the past are blended. They will walk in the light of proceeding from the throne of God. By means of the angels, there will be constant communion between heaven and earth. And Satan, surrounded by evil angels and claiming to be God, will work miracles of all kinds to deceive, if possible, the very elect. God's people will not find their safety in working miracles for Satan. For Satan will counterfeit the miracles that will be wrought. God's tried and tested people will find their power in the sign spoken of in Exodus 31, 12 to 18. That is the Sabbath. They are to take their stand on the living word, it is written. And we go through a time of Jeremiah's trouble, Jacob's trouble, and that's in Jeremiah 35 to 7. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great. It's going to get rough. so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But then the promise, always at the end, but he shall be saved out of it. We've got to stay faithful at all times. Look, it's resurrection weekend. That resurrection, it gave us a promise. We have a promise that he lives again. Satan did not overpower him, just bruised his heel. At the end, Satan dies. We have a promise of the second coming of Christ, where we're going to get together, and that table is many miles in length, and he serves us. Us. Our sins killed him. You know what I did? I put into AI, and I said, here are all the scriptures of heaven, and the stuff and a couple things in Spirit of Prophecy. I said, create an image of what you see with the information that I gave you. Look at that. Really? Look at that. The tree of life on both sides of the river of water of life. My. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we have everything to gain, but he promises to strengthen us as we go through. It's happening all around us. Be sober, be vigilant. That's what it's all about. Take everything from the world, put it aside, put it second. Yes, we've got to live our lives, but the thing is, put it aside. Make Jesus number one in your life. You can still do business, but you got to do it upright. You know, pray. Lord, help me. I'm having problems with this. I'm having problems with that. That's what he's there for, because he said, I'm going to save you. I'm going to pull you out of it. The whole idea, it is a connection with the Lord. You can know the prophecies all you want. It isn't going to do you any good if you don't have a connection with the Lord. That's what it's all about. Loving the Lord, but when he shows you something, follow it. Follow it. Thank you. Amen. Amen.